Next, I would like to introduce the gentle lady from Ohio, Marcy Casper, Captor. I'd like to capture Miss Captor. She's serving her 12th term currently in the House, where she is co-chair of the Ukrainian Caucus. And so it's with great pleasure we ask Ms. Captor to tell us what she has to tell us.
Thank you very much, Chairman Hyde and Ranking Member Lantos, Congressman Leach, and Paul. Thank you also very much for the great courtesy of allowing me to testify at this important hearing as co-chair of the bipartisan House Ukrainian Caucus. And it is indeed an honor to follow the great senator from Indiana, Senator Lugar. Please let me submit for the record the names of the co-chairs of our Congressional Ukrainian Caucus: Congressman Roscoe Bartlett of Maryland, Congressman Sandra Levin of Michigan, Congressman Kurt Weldon of Pennsylvania, along with myself, along with a full list of members of our caucus, including several who are members of the International Relations Committee. I thank the chairman. Mr. Chairman, history has not been kind to the people of Ukraine. Just in the past century, they have endured a world war, a forced famine at the hands of Joseph Stalin as a result of his failed attempts at collectivization of the land, another world war, and the ravages of Nazism and brutal domination then for decades under the Soviet Union. Now they look to the West, especially to America, as they hope to pull off a political miracle. They are asking us the question, made famous by an American sports commentator: do you believe in miracles? All of us share a deep concern for democratic transition in Ukraine's recent presidential election and for the welfare of the nearly 50 million people of that nation. We have all been awed by the courage of the Ukrainian people many times during this Thanksgiving season. Ukrainians remind us of our own nation's founders and the timeless words that have run through our own history. For example, at the base of the Statue of Liberty, Emma Lazarus's words, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free." Who could not look at the huddled masses in the Kiev Square and not be reminded of our own history? And then from our own Declaration of Independence, "All people have an unalienable right, endowed by their Creator, to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed." We relive these words in real time as we witnessed hundreds of thousands of courageous Ukrainian citizens not only braving winter's bitter, bone-chilling temperatures in Kiev's Central Plaza, and I have felt those myself, but risking their lives and futures as Russian troops dressed in Ukrainian army uniforms infiltrated the crowds. Remarkably, after 2 weeks, no violent incidents marred this incredibly peaceful orange revolution. The will of democracy seekers is clear. America simply has a moral responsibility, and indeed a duty, to help plant democracy where it seeks to root, lest this moment be recorded by history as the 21st century's first Yalta. No economic interest or strategic paradigm should divert our nation from standing firmly beside those who are risking all. They are bearing testament and giving birth to liberty. They are living the vision that John F. Kennedy articulated in his inaugural address: "Let every nation know that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and success of liberty." It is nothing but miraculous to think that this most recent human crescendo for liberty is arising inside borders in which more than 50 million I repeat, 50 million human beings were annihilated or forcibly starved in former times. More human carnage than even under Nazi Germany. When I first traveled to Ukraine with our mother Anastasia in 1973, long before I was serving as a member of Congress, I held little hope that what we are witnessing today would or could happen in our lifetimes. But we walked the path in that journey of hope during the Soviet period to bear witness that borders and even weapons could not stifle the love of family, the raw truth of history, and the aspirations of the heart. Today, now 3 decades later, as a member of Congress, I would like to submit for the record the official RADA Congress agreement that our caucus negotiated and signed in 1999 with our legislative counterparts in the new Republic of Ukraine.
Without objection, so ordered.
Our agreement has several objectives. The ink is now dry on the signing, but this hangs here in the Congress as a permanent testament to our progress. And the agreement seeks to first constitute a working group, which we already have established, with the RADA to help resolve any issues hampering an expansion of economic and political cooperation between the United States and Ukraine. It established items of discussion between our Congress and the RADA through this parliamentary exchange to encompass economic relations, trade, space exploration, health care, the environment, agriculture, natural resources, and other matters important to the promotion of close ties between the United States and Ukraine. And finally, it is dedicated to convening biannually in the United States and Ukraine to formally exchange viewpoints brought about by current events. And the Congress-RADA Parliamentary Exchange will from time to time issue recommendations to be pursued in each legislature. In view of ongoing events in Ukraine, I would strongly urge your committee, building on this agreement, to undertake several immediate actions to imbue this agreement with added meaning at this juncture. First, to strengthen the conversations between the legislative branches of our respective countries and to help Ukraine's RADA become an equal branch. Immediately, I would ask the committee to consider convening several teleconferences through our Library of Congress between the RADA and our Congress, including a conference with Speaker Volodymyr Litvin of the RADA and other interested members of the RADA to increase dialogue on matters of mutual interest regarding fair elections during this critical transition period. Those could be started almost immediately. Second, to establish a fund for legislative staff exchange between the United States Congress and the RADA to support the advancement of staff policy capability. And thirdly, to reissue our request prior to the Thanksgiving holiday to organize an official congressional delegation to travel to Ukraine related to the revote and to assist during the election in any way that we could be supportive. I want to say formally for the record, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, that I wholeheartedly support this revote in Ukraine's elections, but I'm very mindful of the careful attention that we must dedicate to our relationship with Russia, diplomatically, culturally, educationally, economically. Surely, Congress must expand and formalize upon our ongoing and valuable relationship with the Duma, a stable and economically healthy Russia, as well as Ukraine, are in the world's interest. During these last few weeks, in my role as Ukrainian co-chair of this caucus and a friend of the Ukrainian people, I literally have received dozens and dozens of emails and letters from people in Kiev and throughout the countryside. I'm only going to give brief quotes from 3 of them, and we'll submit the others for the record. But let me just say, in terms of voter suppression, I had a telephone conversation with a Ukrainian citizen residing in Moscow who explained to me how her vote was denied as she sought to cast her vote at the Ukrainian embassy in Moscow, made to wait in line for nearly an hour, experiencing administrative delays and then denied her vote. We must pay particular attention to those who are casting their votes in adjacent nations and republics in this election monitoring process. Another comment from someone I will call Katya, who said to me, hundreds of students have left our city for Kiev to participate in the Orange Revolution. I hope the position of the United States will force the powers to recognize the results of the elections. Please pray for us. That was written to us almost 2.5 weeks ago. From Natalia, who said to us, I have not seen this type of emotion in our people since 1990, when the student fasts helped us to attain independence. This past uprising is nothing in comparison to the situation that confronts us now. I am proud of our people for taking a stand. As I write this, thousands of people from across Ukraine are coming through the subways and are gathered in the streets of Kiev despite the brutal cold and constant snow. And finally, from Oleksandr, who said, last night, 500,000 people gathered in Independence Square. I have never seen such a sea of people in my life. It is a credit to our country that the entire crowd of Yushchenko supporters is sober and well-behaved. Help us, in any way you can. Do not let our people stand alone in their fight for democracy. Please keep us in your prayers. Mr. Chairman, I will submit the other comments for the record and merely end by saying Ukraine and the people of that important nation look to the West as they hope to pull off a political miracle. They are asking us the question, made famous by an American commentator, do you believe in miracles? Do we believe in miracles? Does this Congress believe in miracles? Thank you. I implore you to do what we can as the premier legislative body of our nation in helping these people gain the freedom for which their ancestors died.
Thank you, Marcy, for a very helpful statement. And without objection, the documentation you have submitted will be placed in the record at this point.